back. Part 3 of the Spotlight special interview with the big man, Mr. Sweet D. Williams.
Yes, and we come back on a slightly more somber note because we'd like to know the relationship that Sweet D. Williams had with the late Trevor Huroy Curry.
Yeah, I want to say my condolences to the Curry family because, you know, just last week, COVID, I understand COVID was the cause behind Trevor's passing. And I was surprised to see, I checked the letters last Friday, the 22nd. Once I heard the news that Trevor had passed, I went onto the internet to try to find out any more information, see if there's anything, because James Cook, MBE, who was a former British middleweight champion, called me to tell me the news that morning. So he wasn't sure exactly what was what at the time, so I jumped on the internet, as you do, to find out any more information about Curry and say, well, let me see how he passed or exactly what happened. And I couldn't find anything. I went on to Google, I was on all the boxing sites, and there's nothing about him. And I was a little bit disappointed because I'm thinking, hold up a second, here you have a guy, a man who was not only a talented fighter, he was a British heavyweight champion. So the fact that no one was even mentioned, it wasn't a line to say, listen, the former heavyweight champion passed away this morning. Even that was on no sites. And I felt disappointed. So I'm glad I mentioned it today. I also wrote an article to get published. Hopefully one of the papers will take this article, a tribute to Trevor. And also Trevor had played an important part in my journey of my career, because being Trevor was, I think, one of my career high points.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I wrote about that. In fact, the things I'm telling you guys today is part, an extract from my life story, because I've got my life story coming out.
Yeah, good.
It's a memoirs of a fighter. It's called A Fighter's Dream. And
did you hear that, listeners? Did you hear that? Mr. Sweet D. Derek Williams is bringing out an autobiography on his life.
Yeah, and people love it. It's got stories from, I mean, it's got stories of me travelling across America. I lived a life where I journeyed to America and travelled across the states fighting and training in different states. So I've been through Mississippi, Vegas, Philadelphia, New York. I was travelling across the state. Just like you see, I look back at my life and think,
Route 66.
That was like a movie, because I was meeting journeys. I was one at the tournament. That tournament was in Mississippi, right? I was in the hotel. In fact, it was a motel, and there was a bar not too far away where you could get food. So I was there one night alone, and a bunch of Hells Angels coming in there, sitting on their motorbikes and stuff. And now, don't forget this, I'm a black guy in Mississippi, in a bar on my own, because all the other fighters hadn't come there, because they are Americans. They were coming from their homes. They're coming from their homes across the state. Because I was from England, they just flew me straight to Mississippi, so I was there first, right? But the Hells Angels, that's in the book. You know, it's that story with the Hells Angels and me. That's in the book, so listen out for that. That's going to be coming out soon. It's going to be interesting. The stories I'm telling you about the Tyson sparring and all these things, people haven't heard a lot of these stories before, but they're all in the book. Not. So you're getting the first hand. So
not to allow the listeners not to purchase the book, let's not give them too much of an insight.
Yeah, there's
just
so much
know
more.
There's a book coming out on the wonderful career and life of Derek Sweet D. Williams.
A Fighter's Dream.
This year, we look forward to that, and we'll definitely get you back on the show.
Yeah.
When the book is out, and we'll be hitting the listeners hard with the story of your life, Sweet D.
So what we want to do now is get your insight analysis of the great special boxers we've got, the crop now, of the top elite boxers now.
Yeah, right. We're talking about boxing on the whole, right? I'm talking about boxing in Britain first of all, right? Because people don't realise this, but right now, the UK, we're leading the world when it comes to boxing, because we got a lot of top class fighters, especially in the heavyweights.
Right.
We got two top heavyweights, right? When you rule the heavyweight division, you rule the sport because you're the heavyweight champion. The heavyweight champion can claim to be the best fighter. Mm. I mean, you're not going to expect a middleweight or a light guy to claim that they're the best fighters in the world when you've got a heavyweight who know that he's the daddy. Because you got Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury who are the world champions right now. And you got a lot of other guys coming up, you know what I mean? You got around the world, but to be focusing on the UK, we've got AJ.
Oh, you're talking Yardy?
No, he's like. But even in the lighter division, like you got Buatsi.
Yes.
He's a good fighter. I think he's a light heavyweight, right? I keep thinking he's a cruiserweight because I think he's a light heavyweight for sure, but he's solid. He looks like he'd knock out heavyweights.
But is he solid enough to beat Usyk?
There are different ways. Usyk has gone up to heavyweight, right? So boxing's funny because what they've done, they keep creating new weight divisions. I think there's another division that they're trying to create between the cruiserweight and the heavyweight division.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. So that was being spoken of some time ago.
Hmm.
I lost track of some things. I'll tell you why. Because when COVID came and shut down boxing, you understand, you're having to search around five fights and didn't have the same atmosphere.
Mm.
So, but boxing is in a good place because you've got, right now, everyone's hungry to get back to the way they want to be, where they were before the lockdown. So you're going to get a lot of competition, you're going to get new guys on the scene who wasn't spoken of before, so they're going to want to try to jump on it. So everyone is like, it's like a blank canvas now and everyone's got to come and make their mark.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
Joshua and Fury, that fight,
I think it's always
going to be made.
Hmm.
It might not even be here. I understand that they're speaking of it happening in the Middle East or Saudi Arabia somewhere. Mm.
It's the money.
Yeah, the money.
It's the money of the market, you know.
Mm. Right, people say to me, who do you think would win the fight? And I say, I don't even know if I can say who do I think would win the fight. On form, it's a hard fight to pick. Before Joshua lost to Ruiz, I was going to the thought that Joshua stands to me ahead at the time, right? But in the rematch of Drury's, I saw Joshua's, it wasn't that he was apprehensive, but he wasn't as attacking as he was before. No. So I think a little edge has gone. And then he fought again.
There's a vulnerability to Joshua. Now, I've been a Joshua supporter of his career.
Yeah.
Mm.
But when Tyson went through his mental situation and took a step out. At that point in time, if Tyson had fought Joshua, Tyson would have won. Because technically, when you analyze his ability, he was the better boxer. But now, when you see Anthony Joshua through that period, you thought, hey, this guy is the real deal. But precisely on the point that you're bringing into the conversation is, as soon as Ruiz toppled his invincibility, you saw a different boxer.
A
boxer who seems now to me, who's in his camp, frightened to take a punch around the back of the head.
I think so, and I think that. And the thing is, listen, and I think, like I said, Joshua is good for boxing because he's the part. He looks the part. He's a good guy. He boxes, he punches. Mm. That slight doubt was because of the way he came back after. But then again, to be fair, he's fighting a guy in a rematch. He'd done a brave enough thing to fight straight away. He fought him back, his first fight back, and he won the fight.
Yeah.
But though he fought on the back foot, he was more like apprehensive and fighting along. And he wanted to secure that win.
Yeah.
Right. So I think he fought a smart fight.
And he managed
fight.
To do that, yeah.
He fought a smart fight. But we have to give credit to Ruiz in both fights.
Mm.
Right.
One, because he was never fit for the second fight. No. And the first fight, he had stunned the world.
Right, so now you've got Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury, I think, he defies science because the size of Tyson Fury and his agility and his ability to move the way he does at that size. So it's a fight that I wouldn't say to myself, I'll put money on that fight because you can't determine because Joshua got an equalizer punch. So Tyson Fury could be beating Joshua all the way. And Joshua is capable of ending the fight either hand at any point because he got the punch.
Yeah, in the same way that when he fought, Deontay Wilder twice. I put my money on Deontay Wilder to end it for Tyson Fury, but it didn't happen. Look how he dealt with him twice.
Tyson Fury surprised me. You see the first fight with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. I thought that Wilder would have beaten Tyson because Tyson had been at the ring such a long time.
That's right, and he'll get caught.
Because he had two combat fights that weren't really anyone of that standard that would put him in the position to fight for Wilder. But Tyson Fury showed people wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that what I like about him, I did start to notice him when he beat Derek Chisora in their second fight. That's the first time I started to say, well, this guy is not too bad because he moves good. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he still can move.
And he still can move. And he knows that he's got good green generalship. He can move around. He's strong enough to... His punch is hard enough to stop guys. So it's a good fight with Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, definitely.
Deontay Wilder coming back. I've never been a fan of Wilder, to be fair. I've never been... Wilder was really scrappy. I've never... Listen, Wilder knocked out a lot of guys. Got a good knockout record. If you went and got 20 tomato cans and knock them off the fence, right? You could knock them out in a spectacular fashion.
Yes.
Wilder wasn't, to me, he was falling over himself.
It's all razzmatazz.
But I used to like the razzmatazz. I used to like those fighters coming up. I used to like those watching them from a spectator perspective.
I've always had a doubt, and I was proven right with the Tyson fights. I backed Tyson on both occasions. I was actually quite shocked that he got it was the draw.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, given the due of what happened, I'd accept that. But I always knew it was more, as they say, empty barrel make the most noise. And that's all I'm going to say.
You should be a gambling man. You should put some money there. Put a little tempo on.
Funny enough, fights can be hard to call in a certain move in a fight.
Absolutely can.
You know, that's the beauty of boxing, you understand? Because you never know who's gonna land the punch. You can one fight come to mind, right? I'm a boxing fan for years. I'm a boxing historian, and John Tate. This is back in the '70s.
Yeah. I was gonna say I want our listeners to know who John Tate is.
John Tate was an American heavyweight. He got bronze or silver in the Olympics because he lost to Teofilo Stevenson, who was a great Olympic champion. Anyway, John Tate turned pro, undefeated. And he's fighting a guy called Mike Weaver. Mike Weaver became
the world champion.
Now, what should happen? During those days, fights were 15 rounds. John Tate beating Weaver all the way through the fight to the last round, Weaver hit him with one punch, with a matter of almost seconds remaining in the fight. And Weaver landed a boom, knocked John Tate out. So he lost maybe 40, he lost 14 out of 14 rounds with one punch. Equalize it, right?
Of course.
So that's the beauty of boxing. You never, people, they're saying that, say, it's not over till the fat lady sings. And that goes, that what boxing is all about. You never know what's going to happen. You keep your hands up all the time.
We're going to say the bell has rung and it is over with our wonderful conversation
with
the man himself, the former heavyweight champion, European champion, and Commonwealth champion of Britain.
We're going to give him a round of applause.
I like that sweet D.
Yeah, he's a man. D. So, great D for having you in the studio.
Yeah.
And we look forward. There's so much to talk about.
No, I love you guys. You know, I listen to the way this come across, and I continue listening to you. Another guest. Entertaining London.
Yeah.
So London, stay tuned. It's big.
So later on in the year, we're going to have you back in again because it's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Wonderful pleasure speaking to this social icon. Notable.
Absolutely. And we want to talk to you again about some of the good work you're doing in the community. We haven't even touched on your community work. We haven't touched on your well-being work. So this is the man, Sweet D Williams. We're going to get you back in the studio soon. This has been the PT Show, and it's been a pleasure, hasn't it, Tosh, to have Sweet D in the
always
studio?
Always a pleasure to see this man.
Nice, for sure.
Have a great day, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you, Sweet D.